Good morning. This is a joy for me to be here this morning, and especially after having known my brother Jim Sebastio and James Williamson for quite some time, who've been to our place, and I think some people here have been to Zambia and Dola. And may I simply say thank you very much to the eldership of this church for allowing me to stand in front of you, and more so to talk about my life, how I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, but also what's happening back home at Grace Reformed Baptist Church and in the area of Ndola. The purpose for sharing my testimony, and more so what's happening back home, is basically that which is found in 2 Thessalonians and chapter 3, verse 1, which of course should lead us to prayer. Let me just read to us 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. The Apostle Paul writes and says, Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you. That's the purpose for sharing my testimony, and that's the purpose for sharing what the Lord is doing back home, that you may pray for us, and that the word of the Lord may be declared, and that the word of the Lord may find room in the hearts of many who are still lost, and at the end of the day, that Christ be glorified in his church. Briefly, let me give you just a picture of my small family there. My name is Kabwe Kabwe. Many people wonder why the same name twice, and I always say I have got another name, that is Mabin. But if you're interested in another name, I've got two other names. My father's name is Kabwe. My father's first name is Kabwe. My father's surname is Kabwe. I'm the firstborn in the family of 8 children, and he named me after his name, which is Kabwe. So I'm called Kabwe Kabwe. I've been married for the past 20, my wife was here would really shoot me, for the past 24 years. This coming August will be 25 years in marriage. The Lord has been gracious to bless us with 3 biological children. That is Mumba, Theophilus, and Mubanga. Now those two are Zambian names. That's Mumba simply means to mold. Mubanga means a very strong tree. And Theophilus is an obvious name, which name I got from Luke and the book of Acts. These are the two, I would say, wonderful ladies God has given to us in our family. Mumba, she's studying. She's at one of the universities in Zambia. She's doing business studies. Mubanga, she's studying in South Africa. She's doing law. Our dear boy Theophilus is still at home with us. He's 13 years old. I love the young man. He keeps on telling me, Daddy, when you come back from America, bring something good for me. And I always say, what is something good? He talks about games. I say, no, it's not time for games. It's time for study. So that's my small family. Briefly, let me talk about my testimony, how I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, like many young boys and girls back home, Zambia is a religious nation. Going to church on a Sunday is like a tradition. Those of you who've been to Zambia, on Sunday you find a lot of people carrying their Bibles, their armpits, and maybe going to church with their families. Like I said, I'm the firstborn of a family of the children of 8. Being the firstborn, there's always some kind of a pressure in our context. They look to you as a firstborn child. My father, who by that time was an ordained lay preacher in the Methodist Church, but at the same time was a lecturer at one of the technical colleges, used to invite us to church. In fact, not even to invite, to force us to go to church. Unfortunately, even as we went to church, Dad never gave us what I would say an example of what it means to be one who loves God. We would go to church, and after church, Dad will say, "I'll find you." He takes off his collar as a lay preacher and gives maybe one of us a jacket, and go off he goes to the pub. In the evening, he'll come back. You're thinking, here is a man who was preaching. He would be of an example to us. So it's like saying, do what I say, but don't do what I do. So at the end of the day, he never left an impact on our lives of what it really means to be a Christian. For I know for sure he was not a Christian, because he got converted some, I think the past 9 years ago. I'll talk about that later if I won't forget. It was until I had finished my high school when a cousin of mine, who basically we treat as my elder brother, he was raised by my father, he had become a Christian. And it's like he became the evangelist in the home. That is, in 1979, going 1980. In those days, those are the days you'd mention in Zambia, there was a kind of a revival without us knowing. You find a number of us were in the ministry in Zambia, got saved in the late 80s, in the late 90s. No, I'm sorry, not the 80s, the late 70s, going to the early 80s. It so happened that one day he invited me, says, "Kabwe, I want you to come to church." He was going to a Pentecostal Assemblies of God. And I said, "No, you know, I can't come to your church." And he said, "Why?" And I said, "First, the way you sing. And secondly, the way you dress." I mean, in those days when you go to church, and like it is very formal elsewhere, you go to church, you're nicely dressed, you need to have a nice tie, a nice jacket, and good trousers. I said, "I don't have those things." The third day, he said, "Okay, fine, let's make a deal." He promised that he was going to give me a pair of trousers and a shirt, and that would be a good gift, as long as I would say yes to accompany him to his church. I says, "Wow, trousers and a shirt, that's going to church." And that was a Wednesday. There were some evangelistic meetings going on at their church. I got there, a number of people were there, and after singing the way they would sing, and the preacher who came from West Indies mounted the pulpit. And when he started to preach, he went on talking of how we are sinners, and that Christ came to die for sinners. And then he went on to give illustrations. Immediately what came to my mind was, how can Frank, that's my cousin, my other brother cousin, how can Frank tell the preacher everything about my life? Now I understand why he kept on insisting that I join him to church. That was not true. And today I believe it was God, the Holy Spirit, working in my life. So he kept on giving examples such as, "I know someone here is struggling. I know someone here is very suspicious." He went on giving as if he knew what was going on in my heart. And he preached the gospel for the first time. Like I mentioned, I used to go to this Methodist church where my father was a lay preacher. Never did I ever hear of me being said to be a sinner who is destined to eternal damnation without Christ Jesus. For the first time I heard that message, and I knew this was meant for me. So as the preacher went on preaching, I was struggling, and then he said, "Before we invite those who want to give their lives to Christ," he called for those who were in churches, "maybe you could be here and you have backslidden. We want you to come in front and recommit your life to Christ." No, that's the Pentecostals, the way they do things. And I said, "This is an opportunity for me to sneak out. As people walk in front, I'll just sneak out and off, go home. How can Frank betray me before this man?" So as the people went in front and they were being prayed for, something just kept me there. and says, maybe it's time for me to consider Jesus Christ. Then after all that was done, he said, now may I come to you. I know someone is struggling. I mean, it's as if he was speaking to me alone. And he says, come. I went in front and stood there, not knowing exactly why I went in front. But I knew because the preacher had said, come. So went in front there. I thought I was the only one. Then I looked on the left. There were two young ladies there also. The three of us were there, and says, well, God, let's pray for these people. They prayed for us, and then they sent us to the back office. And when I got there, whom did I meet? I had no clue. I met a friend of mine. And I says, Damas, what are you doing here? Then he said, actually, I'm here for you. I couldn't believe that Damas, whom I had known for quite some time, was a Christian who had given his life to Christ. And he led me through the Bible. And in those days, we had this small Gideon New Testament, Blue Gideon New Testament Bibles. And he gave me one, and they gave me a tract. And I remember very well a small book on the Gospel of John. It says, go read this. We'll be coming to visit you. That was the beginning of my walk with Christ. It looks very ordinary, but that was the beginning. And God used Frank. I never stayed in Pentecostal Assemblies of God for a long time because I was only there for about 6 months. By this 8th month, in the providence of God, I got a scholarship to go to Germany and study. Now, I'm sure when you hear Germany, some of you are thinking of West Germany. I went to a communist country that was East Germany then. That was in 1982. I had no clue what communism was all about. I just got excited that God had opened a door for me to study agriculture abroad. When I got there, I was shocked. The first Sunday I was saying, I'm looking for a church, and I found these big, nice churches. I got in there, found just about a few old ladies, nothing against you, a few old ladies there, and for 6 months I was learning the German language. And I asked, where are the men? He says, the men died in the Second World War. And those that are still alive, they say God never stood on their side. They lost the war. Where are the young men and boys? He says, they have no interest in the gospel because it has been proved that there is no God. I wrote a letter to Frank and said, Frank, I'm here. I can't understand that this God whom you preach to me, the God whom I've come to believe, and I know missionaries came out from Europe to come to Africa, they don't believe this God. They don't love this God. And Frank told me, Kawe, just hold on. I believe that God will bring somebody along the way. It took 6 months for me to found a true believing church. And it so happened, a friend of mine who was studying also agriculture, but in a different town, visited. And I mentioned to him, I said, Edward, I've been here for 6 months and I haven't found a church that really preaches the gospel, a church that loves God. And Edward told me, he says, don't worry, I'll introduce you to somebody. And Edward introduced me to a doctor, Bedo. He was a medical doctor, but he's somebody who knew the underground church then. That was in 1982 in East Germany. He gave me the code, and he said, the code basically just said Dr. Beto, and he gave me an address. And I discovered when I went back to where I was staying that the address was just 2 streets behind the hostels where I was staying. And I went to that house, knocked on the door, opened, there were these 2 lovely old ladies. And I've often said, in my life, if at all there's been people who have really prayed for me, are those 2. May the Lord bless their souls. They're with Christ now. I opened the door and they said, wie heißt du? I said, my name heißt Maven. Oh, and what do you want? I said, Dr. Beto. They looked around and they quickly sneaked me inside the house. They introduced me to a Baptist church, an underground Baptist church. And I grew in my faith
there. In a land where freedom was not given, where Christianity was not a popular thing, where people would be persecuted for being Christians, and God made me to grow in the faith. The second year when I was studying, we had gone out on a summer holiday. All my friends had gone out to enjoy themselves, and I remained in my room praying and studying the scriptures. And I remember very well, it was in 1984, in September. As I was reading through the scriptures, something struck me in my heart. And it came so real. It says, Kawe, do you want to save? I was doing agriculture engineering. Machines or human beings? And slowly I was saying, what is all this about? And I knew God was speaking to my heart. I strongly believe as you read your scriptures, the word of God is alive. The word of God speaks. I'd met a friend of mine there by the name of Winston. I told Winston, this is what is happening in my life. He says, hold on, let's finish our studies here. When we get back home, then we can talk about ministry. We've come here to study. And true to his word, I finished. When I got back home, I started work. I worked for 3 months somewhere. And then later on, I found a work with a Christian organization, sponsored by the German, now the West German government, in partnership with the Zambian government. And they were looking for somebody who had done agriculture, and preferably who can speak what? German. I got the job. And the whole agenda was to share agriculture techniques to small-scale farmers, and at the same time, to preach the gospel to the farmers. Now, God works in a mysterious way to fulfill his purposes. I worked there for 7 years, and there came a time for me to respond to the call. It was not easy. By then, I was already married. I shared this to my wife, that this is what had happened to me way back in 1984, in September. And she said, if God has called you, who am I to stand in his way? And I went to Bible school in South Africa. I did my bachelor's in theology and came back to Zambia. When I came back to Zambia, there was no church. You know, within the Baptist church, you don't apply for a job. The church has to call you. So for 2 years, I said, as I'm waiting for a church to call me, I joined a Christian organization called Scripture Union. Scripture Union is where you teach kids in schools the Bible. And I offered to teach kids the word of God in schools for about 2 years. And in 1998, I was called to pastor at Grace Reformed Baptist Church. And today, I'm still at Grace Reformed Baptist Church since 1998. Briefly, that's the story about Mr. Kawe and how the Lord has led me. I'm at Grace Reformed Baptist Church right now, and Grace Reformed Baptist Church was planted in 1994, and I want to share briefly what's happening at Grace Reformed Baptist Church, and these are items for prayer. Grace Reformed Baptist Church was planted in 1994, and I was called as pastor there in 1998, and that was through the instrumentality of Ronald Kalifungo, I'm sure he's been here, and my friend Conrad Mbewe. I had known Ronald before he and I was a Christian a long time ago. We were still young boys in Livingstone. I had known Conrad at the time when I was an elder at Kasama Baptist Church. And when they heard that I was in town and there was a church that was open, they worked behind curtains to help Grace Reformed Baptist Church call me as their pastor. At the moment, we've got a membership of 102. It fluctuates. Ndola is a town where people come in and they go. The last time we did our count of those who are members, not just on paper, those who are members, it was 104. But I know by now, maybe the number's gone up or down. We have two elders, that is Arnold Kapambwe and myself, and 5 deacons, that's Peter, Twandi, Martin, David, and Katongo. Katongo works also as the Copperbelt Missionary College administrator.
the areas of ministry for your interest and prayers. First is church planting. We've been planting churches, and so far we've got only two churches that we have planted, and these churches are vernacular speaking Baptist churches. We came to realize that God also loves those that cannot speak English. Christ died for them. And what I came to discover was the Reformed faith can be so appealing to those who are educated. The whole systematic theology sometimes makes some sense to you, you understand. If you think about the whole tooling, total depravity, and you go on, it makes sense and inevitably it leads you to a conclusion. But we discovered, what about those of our friends who cannot read and write in English? And so we started to pray as Grace Reformed Baptist Church, and the Lord started to open our eyes. Within our neighborhood, there are shanty compounds where all that you find are these extreme charismatic churches. Say, let's start to plant. Let's be mission-minded. Let's be outward-looking. And so we've planted Mapalo Baptist Church and Luwuto Baptist Church. And we've been working closely with Luansha Central Baptist Church, where Pastor Hakanyanga, whom through this church you've been supporting in terms of his upkeep. Then there's a Copper Belt Ministerial College and a ministry we call Hope for the Afflicted. Just some few photos. Don't worry about that. The Mapalo Reformed Baptist Church, that's their billboard there at Mapalo Reformed Baptist Church. They call it Mapalo. Mapalo simply means blessing. It is situated in a compound or a shanty that is called Chipulukusu. Now, don't mind about that word. Chipulukusu simply means a place of fighting and throwing stones. This is a place where you find all sorts of crimes in Chipulukusu. I remember in 1992, a missionary lady under the Baptist Union of Zambia was shot there, and a vehicle was stolen, and they actually ran over her. That's the kind of a place. And Pastor Marshall Kasongo, who's been a pastor there, this is at our church during the induction service, Pastor Marshall Kasongo was raised there in Chipulukusu. He became a Christian there in Chipulukusu, and he said, God has placed me here for a purpose. Marshall was one of our first graduates from the Copper Belt Ministerial College. And while studying, he was charismatic. I mean, full-fledged charismatic. He was actually an apostle, you know, by title. He studied with us at the Copper Belt Ministerial College. The Lord opened his eyes to see the errors, the heresies that are in the charismatic, particularly to that church where he belonged. And it wasn't long as we got into the second year, Marshall was already converted to the Reformed faith. And he says that was, for him, he says that was actually his conversion. Because the Bible then became a true living word. Other than waiting every Sunday for what to preach, waiting for the Lord to speak to you without reading, without studying. Marshall Kasong has been a pastor there for so many years, over 20 years, but he's been with us for the past 3 years, and he's planting a Reformed Baptist church there. He had his own challenges. It was a big church, over 200, and when he turned to Reformed faith, better to put it, biblical faith, he lost the entire eldership. The men left him. Fortunate enough, there were no wrangles to do with the church building. He was the one who was very instrumental in terms of putting up the church building. And Marshall has continued. That is the small family of Marshall. He's got five boys. His elder son was not there when they took this photo. And he's got five boys. He says he's got a team of a football team. You call it a soccer team. Here. That's Marshall preaching, and that's on the worship day, on the Lord's day. That's the structure they have. And part of this building came up through your support here. Before that, there was no roof, they were basically meeting in a, I mean, the first time I went there, I said, Marshall, you can't. He says, Pastor Kaba, this is all we have. And during the rainy season, they would pray that the rains would not come until they finished the worship service. And once the rains come, they just have to pray and close in a word of prayer. Now they have a church building. And this is all through your support. Those are kids after the worship service, that is the Sunday school after worship service. And what Marshall has done, he gives them some snacks just to make sure they are taken care of. You know, it's one thing to talk about poverty, it's another thing when you really live in such a community where kids have but one meal per day or no meal. And these are true things which I have experienced as we minister in these communities. Some of the needs at Mapalo Reformed Baptist Church, if you look there, those are the pews which we gave them. These pews are as old as 20 years. We had them at Grace Reformed Baptist Church. So when we changed, we bought chairs, we gave them. I think, and Marshall keeps on saying, at least we've got somewhere to sit. Previously, they would stick on bricks. That's all, just on bricks. They had nothing. I remember his pulpit last time, it was just a pile of bricks. And they put a small cloth there. Says Marshall says, Pastor, what is important, the way it is being preached? That's Marshall. They're trying to put up a classroom for a community school. What Marshall identified in that community says, if we can give these kids an education, it's a community school, a lot of kids don't go to school. If we can give these kids just something, some education of some kind. So with our support, they've put up that small classroom behind there, which they want to use as a classroom for a community school. This is just behind their church building. This one area, this is an area you can pray for the church at Mapalo. Then we have Luwuto Central Baptist Church, which we're also planting through our brother Francis Nyati. Brother Francis Nyati was engaged in 2010, and during that very year, he lost his wife. So it was a very difficult time for him to plant a new work, and he lost his wife. So he is a single, I would say, parent, and you do well to pray for Francis Nyati. He's got three children, and he's raising them all by himself. He had challenges when his wife died. What they had said was, it's sad, these are cultural things which happened back home. The family members on the side of his wife came and grabbed all the children. And they said that you are the cause of the death of their child. And because back home you pay what we call dowry, he had not finished. I think he was remaining with what you might call maybe about $40 or $50. So some old uncle came and says, Francis, you did not finish, therefore the children are not your children. Who grabbed them? You know, it was a tough time for Francis. I encourage him, Francis, don't fight, just pray. The older son, they brought him back. And then finally, the second son. And finally, he got even the daughter back. He has the whole children now with him. And I love Francis. Francis is the one who introduced Pastor Marshall to us. I knew Francis a long time ago. I taught him in one of the Bible colleges. Conrad taught him also. He was just doing some studies, independent studies. I remember the late Nigel Lacey, who was a pastor to Saka Baptist, taught Francis. And Francis had embraced the Reformed faith even before he came to the Copper Belt Ministerial College. But out of fear, he could not come out where he was serving at a charismatic church. That is Francis at the induction service at Grace Reformed Baptist Church. You do well to pray for Francis as he's raising children all by himself. It's not easy. And there are so many challenges back home which are cultural. If you're a pastor and you're not married, people are suspicious of a lot of things about you. How do you counsel ladies? How do you give an example as a father or as a husband? Those are some of the challenges that we need to pray for, Brother Francis Nyati. They meet at a primary school. I took this photo some time ago. They meet at a primary school and they have a classroom where they met. Let's pray for Francis, and I pray that the Lord will be gracious as we pray for him, that God will open a door. I've asked him whether he thinks of remarrying. He says, yeah, but still looking for a wife. That could be an area of prayer. He didn't tell me to mention this, but we can pray for Francis, that the God gives him a wife. Then we have the Copper Belt Ministerial College, which you are all familiar with. The Copper Belt Ministerial College, I would say, with the support of this church and other churches, and with the coming of James Williamson and our brother Steve Gamble, we discussed. Today, I can proudly say the Lord has really used this ministry. And it's a ministry we should continue to support. There we have our brother, Pastor Brian, lecturing. That was January 2003 or 2013. And Brian is lecturing, and your own, your very own, Pastor Jim Savasho, lecturing. That is January this year. And, of course, lunch in class after a long day. I took that. I think that was pizza. No, he said, "Kawe, this trip I've had too much of pizza." I said, "I thought you enjoy pizza." And that is Jeremy Walker. He's been there. We've had so many men. And this is all through your support, your prayers, who've come up through. Some of the needs with Copper Belt Ministerial College, I'll say first, I think we're praying that the Lord will help us complete this building for the student hostels, and with your support, I'm very positive. And also the support locally back home that will complete this. We've so far about 36 students. The last module, they had 38 students, I hear. We've got two more who have applied to come in. Then the Hope for the Afflicted ministry. This is a ministry that is on my heart. And it's a ministry which I always say, if we are not careful, we'll be held accountable. Let me just say briefly, and then I'll be done, how this ministry came about. In 2006, I spoke with my other elder and said, Brother Kapambwe, we've been ministering to these people here in the city. What about the people out there? So what we did one Saturday, we drove, those of us who drive, we drove to a nearby community called Kawama. We parked our vehicle somewhere, and I said, let's just take a walk in the community. It's a shanty compound. Let's just take a walk and look at boys, girls, and mothers, and just see what is happening. That was 8 in the morning, around 8 a.m. As we walked, we could not see the men. All we could see were boys, girls, and mothers. We went into some marketplace. There are these drinking places. You're talking about 8 a.m. 8 a.m. The men are busy drinking and already drunk. Then I said, this is the community we live in, whereby people in a small place like this, you find a family of 8 live there. I said, we are living out there. We're not rich. At least in comparison to these guys, we can do something. And so by the time we're coming back after an hour, 30 minutes of walking, I saw a number of the church members were there in tears and says, we've been living here all these years, and this is what is happening behind our neighborhood. And I said, it matters what you want to see. If you want to close your eyes, your ears to the needs and the poverty within us, you can easily do it. And it's very easy to be so immune to the issues of poverty, the issues of injustices that go on. You can simply say, it's okay, we are worshiping God. And yet I want to say, the church should be the salt and the light. What are we doing as a church? And that's our Hope for the Afflicted ministry was born at Grace Reformed Baptist Church. And so we said we should do something. And by doing something, all we did as an eldership, if you can adopt, not legal adopting, pick a child, start to befriend, invite them on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday in your home, share some time with them, and if you can manage from your pocket, give out something.
Is it a book? Is it a shirt? Is it a pair of shoes? That's how the ministry was born. And before long, we had, a lot of kids coming. We started our Sunday school just for these kids in Kawama. And since 2006, we've helped, I would say, about 38 kids. Right now, we have 21 children we are sponsoring through the support of this church and other churches. And five of the kids we started with from 2006 have finished high school waiting to go to college. Now, this is wonderful. I mean, we're doing something. Not only that, we've got from the 21 kids, three who are HIV positive, and we've been supporting them with extra food and also issues to do with healthy and paying for their medicine. Kawama for me is my joy. When I see the church helping the needy, and not just with material, but also preaching the gospel. May I conclude some of the prayer items? Let's pray for the growth of work at Grace Reformed Baptist Church as we continue to plant churches outside Ndola. Continued support for our missionaries. It's not easy as they serve in those difficult places. And also for the college, that's Copper Belt Ministry of College, and the student enrollment. I spoke to Katonga and said that we are having a good problem now. We have more students. We have more students than we can accommodate. And there's a need for more volunteers at church. That this will not be seen just, it's a work for the elders, it's a work for those who are deacons at church, but for the whole church. If we can pray that the Lord will create a heart of service at our local church. And pray also for the addition of elders. If the Lord could add an elder or two at our church, that will go a long way. And finally, if the Lord will bless with the resources that we finish our building project. We still meet in what we call, these are offices, but we have converted them to be our meeting place. I think I'll end there. A brief highlight of what's happening at church and about my life. Thank you very much.